This is Mia La Rochelle, and my partner is Keelan Graves. Today is October 25th, 2023, and we are interviewing Mrs. Valerie Scott Price. This interview is being carried out as a part of the Hampton Roads Oral History Project at Christopher Newport University. All right, good afternoon, Mrs. Price. So we're going to take what is called a life history approach, and we would like to begin our interview with a few questions about your childhood. So can you please state when and where you were born?
You want me to say my name first?
Oh, sure, if you'd like.
My name is Valerie Scott Price. I was born in Newport News, Virginia, and in Whitaker Hospital, which is no longer there, but it was the black hospital in Newport News. And I'm the youngest of four children. I have three older brothers.
Must have been busy. Could you shed a little light about who your parents were, or like what your parents' names were?
Oh, yes. My father was Dr. Charles Waldo Scott. He was a general surgeon in the area and was pretty well known in the community. Mm-hmm. There was a C. Waldo Scott Center for Hope on Wickham Avenue that was named after him, and a bridge on 16th Street.
Oh, this wow.
Bears his name also. And my mother was May Hamlin Scott, and she was a teacher. She wanted to be a doctor initially, but after going into some of the medical classes, mm-hmm. decided that that wasn't the route that she needed to go. So she became a science teacher.
Oh, wow.
And taught earth science and biology in Newport News.
Nice.
Fantastic. Thank you.
So did you grow up in a particularly religious household? And if so, did your religious upbringing play a role in your identity and motivations in life?
I grew up in a home that we believed in God. And they sent us to Sunday school, mm-hmm. Either with my grandparents or, you know, with my parents. I don't think we were overly religious, but we knew the tenets of the Episcopal faith, mm-hmm. and tried to do our best to live a godly life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for that. Could you describe how your community looked? Maybe it could be the greater community, maybe just your neighborhood itself. Do you have any like memories of how it may have looked?
I was born on 32nd Street in Newport News, and it was a segregated neighborhood. And behind us was Marshall Courts, and there was a fence that divided our side of the grass from their side. And I wasn't even 5 years old yet when I learned what segregation looked like, because the white children were playing on the playground that I could not play on. So then we moved to Madison Avenue, and we still didn't see a lot of white people in the neighborhood because it was segregated. And we saw white people in stores, and the insurance salesmen that came to collect money from our neighbors for whatever policies they had. So, you know, I was in a segregated neighborhood up there also. Mm-hmm.
And generally, what were race relations like in Newport News? You talked specifically about your community, but overall, like, if you went into the city, for example, like, further into the city, would you see more segregation, less segregation?
Well, this was during a time that we couldn't try on clothes in stores. We couldn't sit at the lunch counters to eat lunch. And theaters in Newport News and Hampton had sections for black people to sit. Either it was upstairs or in the back. And there was a theater in Hampton that you had to go up outside steps to get to the balcony. So, it was very segregated when I was growing up. And I guess the most interaction I had with the other community was when I went to Newport News High School.
Oh, wow. So thank you so much for talking about that. We'd like to learn more about your experiences attending some of the city's segregated schools before turning into integration. And so we did see that you first attended Jefferson and Walter Reed. And are we correct in understanding that these were schools primarily for Black students?
Yes.
Okay.
They were segregated schools. Jefferson was on 30th Street, and then I was there from 1st through 5th. We didn't have kindergarten there. Kindergarten had started when I was in elementary school. And then sixth grade, I went to Walter Reed, which is now Downing Grove Cultural Arts Center.
Oh, wow.
And seventh grade, I went to Huntington Annex, which was right behind Huntington High School. It was a little tin building. It had several classrooms.
Right.
So it wasn't a large student body. But, you know, that's where we went to seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
And what were your experiences like there?
At the schools?
Yes, ma'am. Could you?
They were very positive. I can tell you every teacher that I had from first through fifth, and most of them from sixth and seventh, and it was very positive. And they knew everybody knew everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The teachers knew, of course, knew my parents.
Okay.
So I couldn't do anything wrong. They knew where to go and how to find them.
Absolutely. Were there any teachers who stood out to you in particular?
Well, one of the teachers that probably got me to be here today,
mm-hmm.
back then, was Miss Sarah Whittington.
Okay.
She was our seventh grade social studies teacher. And in, I guess it was the fall of, the spring of 1965. I don't know if she talked to the parents first or to the students first, but she was talking about freedom of choice,
mm-hmm.
and integrating Newport News High School. So she was the one that brought that to the students and encouraged a lot of us to go there,
mm-hmm.
in the fall of 1965.
Wow. Were you involved in any extracurricular activities when you were, like, in these schools?
We didn't have many extracurricular activities in elementary or sixth and seventh grade. But I was a member of the Y Teens.
Oh, wow.
But that was not a part of the school.
Mm-hmm.
The YWCA on Orchid Avenue had a group of Y teens that,
mm-hmm.
we would go learn how to sew and had parties. And
mm-hmm.
I think we went caroling and,
oh my God.
Things like that. You know, the fun things that we don't do anymore.
Right.
And you mentioned your teacher who actually told you, your parents, or yourself about the freedom of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Was this something that you discussed at home when you were about to go to Newport News High School? Was that a decision that you were even a part of, or was that something made for you?
I think it was probably a little of both. It was going to be a new experience, definitely a new experience, because my friends and I hadn't been in that community particularly. I don't remember any hesitation particularly, because
mm-hmm.
it was very strongly encouraged,
right.
through the school and through my parents to go. And what made it a little bit easier for me was my mother was going to be on the faculty there.
Mm-hmm.
And my older brother, who had gone to prep school, came back to start 10th grade at the school the same year,
right.
in 65.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we'd like to learn more about your experiences with school desegregation. So with that, we understand that you helped to desegregate Newport News schools. And then how were you treated by the staff at Newport News high school, did you feel supported by administration and teachers when you first arrived? And did they immediately support you, or was there like a transition period?
Well, when we arrived, I don't remember anyone picketing, because I've seen in other states. But there were no outstretched arms either. So there were probably some conflicts to work out through our time there. The teachers accepted us into the student body for the most part. The coaches were probably happy that they had some good players or team members on whatever sport it was joining the student body. The guidance counselors, I can only speak from my experience. I don't know how they treated other people, but back in that day, there was no computers and the internet. Colleges had catalogs, the books that we could check out from the guidance counselors. And you go in and request a school catalog, and that was the guidance that I received. I don't remember anyone saying, maybe you can consider this or consider that. There was no positive feedback. And some of my classmates said that they were discouraged from some of the careers that they had chosen because the guidance counselors didn't think that they could meet up to their expectations of that field.
Wow, that's fun.
So you would describe the experience there as not, outwardly malevolent, but cold.
I think that's how it would be a good description when we first got there. It got better as time went on, but that's a good description. Okay. I think they weren't used to us, and we weren't used to them, and through interactions in class and other activities like sports and certain things, things got a little bit better. One of my classmates, Donna, tried out for the cheerleading squad, and the results were posted on a sheet on the wall, and someone wrote the N-word across her name. And the cheerleading sponsor was very angry and tore it down because she didn't want any of that. And that negativity. And Donna went on to be the first black JV and varsity cheerleader.
God. Wow. That's amazing.
We hear that you entered Newport News High School as an eighth grader in 1965 and you graduated in 1970. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you mentioned that there were other African Americans within the school. Yourself, I think you mentioned your brother for one.
There was a group of us that went from my class, the seventh grade class.
Okay. Were you all in the same class as you elevated throughout your high school career, or were you all separated?
We were separated into different homerooms and different classes. Sometimes the schedules would coordinate and we would be in the same class or whatever, but for the most part, they divided us up among the different classes.
Okay. And then my further question after that is, when you didn't have classes with your with the other African-American students, was there an attitude or a feeling of discomfort at all? Or unease?
I would say maybe in eighth and ninth grade, but as we were there longer, I think things got a little bit better in the classes. Eighth and ninth grade, I think, were the probably toughest. And entering as an eighth grader, we were called mice.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That's crazy. And how did the decision to attend Newport News High School come about? Can you share any specific experiences that motivated you to get involved with desegregation efforts?
Well, as I said, seventh grade, I went to Huntington Annex, which was right behind Huntington High School. And we had, since we were that close, all of my friends thought we were going to go to Huntington High School in eighth grade. But as I said, Miss Whittington talked to us and encouraged, I don't remember how many of us, but it was enough to say that school was then integrated because students came from other schools also. And I think it was a good decision. It was a new experience. We were young 13-year-olds mm-hmm. starting a going in somewhere we had never been before.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it was a good experience.
Good.
So, we know that you enrolled in Newport News High School as part of the Freedom of Choice, but when doing this Freedom of Choice, was there any backlash from the faculty or the higher-ups at Newport News High School about your decision to enroll there, or do you know of any instances where the faculty, even though they acknowledged that freedom of choice, still said, ugh, maybe we do not?
I don't know that I had all of the teachers that might have been on the negative side of us being there, but I did have some, and they just didn't necessarily interact with us as they would some of the other students. There was one teacher who, you know, I would ask a question and he would get annoyed with me for asking the question, but someone else could ask a question and he would answer like that's what they were supposed to do. So they weren't all the teachers, but there were some. As far as the administration, I don't remember the administration saying or doing anything that would have made a mark of negativity with me.
Okay.
Right. So what was involved with the process of going to Newport News High School and working on, like, desegregation? Like, was there an application? How did all that work for you to get there?
Well, seeing that it's been more than 50 years ago,
yeah.
I don't quite remember all the specifics of
right.
that. But I'm sure there was an application process
mm-hmm.
Because people were coming from other schools also.
Right.
So I don't exactly remember the specific process
mm-hmm.
of how that came about.
Could you describe your first day at high school at Newport News High School?
I don't necessarily remember the first day,
right.
mm-hmm. being so long ago. But like I said, there was no picketing, but there were no outstretched arms either.
Right.
So, you know, we just tried to do our best and do what we were supposed to do and
right.
Ignore anything that was not positive toward us.
Right.
Understandable. But you could say the atmosphere was different, right?
Oh, yeah.
And in that atmosphere, do you felt that your education was either hampered or did it motivate you to succeed more?
Well, one of the things that Miss Whittington told us when she was trying to get the group together was that going to Newport News, being a black student, we would have to be twice as good. So that there would be no hesitation or compromise, that our skills would be up to par or better than mm-hmm. what they expected.
Thank you.
And how did you get to school each day?
Well, for the most part, I rode with my mother.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
In those days, in the days that she did not go to school for whatever reason, I rode the bus.
Right.
And one of the stories that one of my classmates told me about the bus on the first day, they were waiting for the bus and waiting for the bus, and then found out that they picked up all the white students first and took them to school, and then went around to pick up the black students. So the black students who were waiting for the bus were probably late.
Wow.
Because they were waiting for the bus.
Wow, that's... And what were, what would you say the relations were like between you, and, your white peers? Did you feel welcomed by them? Was there anyone in particular that you would say was malicious or welcoming, to you all?
I don't remember any specific negative, experiences. I just didn't associate with the ones who were very negative.
Right.
And there were some students who were very accepting and accommodating and wanted to be a part of an integrated student body.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were those, the others.
Yeah.
So now with talking about the relations between black and white students,
mm-hmm.
we can kind of go bigger. And so how did the broader civil rights movement or that movement for desegregation and integration as a whole kind of play into your experience at Newport News High School? Did you hear any news at certain points of different events happening at the time and they would be discussed in school almost like we do today with international events?
I know when Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated, there was some interest in having gatherings to
mm-hmm.
commemorate that situation. There was a march and across 28th Street Bridge also, but the administration allowed the black students to have that
mm-hmm.
event in the it was either in the gym or the cafeteria, and there was a program, and my brother remembers that one of the students sang Lift Every Voice and Sing, and other people spoke, so they were accommodating to things like that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as other situations, I don't remember any large gatherings because
right.
of other things happening.
And so with your friend groups from Jefferson and Walter Reed, did any of them follow you to Newport News High School? And did any of them go to other newly integrated high schools?
Most of my friend group
mm-hmm.
went to Newport News.
Right.
I have a friend that started first grade, and we went through every grade together, through high school, through college, and then we even taught a year together.
Oh, wow.
So, most of the people I was closest to
mm-hmm.
went to Newport News.
Okay.
Okay. So with talking about school, let's talk about your favorite subject.
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite subject at Newport News High School?
I'd never taken a speech class before.
Oh.
And being the introvert that I am, I thought maybe that was something that would
right.
be good for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good introduction to, speaking before people.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that class. And I guess most of the English classes
mm-hmm.
that I took, I wasn't that great in math, but I got through.
Yeah, that's the same. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the sciences were interesting too.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I said that's almost universal.
Yeah, yeah. We also noticed that you were very involved with extracurriculars like French Club, and you were your senior class treasurer. Was there any particular reason that you wanted to get involved in all those extracurricular activities?
Well, the senior class treasurer. How did you find out about that?
I found your yearbook.
Oh, gosh.
Your senior year yearbook. Senior portrait looks great, by the way.
Yes. That's an interesting story about the senior class treasurer, because we were having senior class
mm-hmm.
elections, And there were no black students on the ballot for any of the positions. So someone put my name up for senior class treasurer. And lo and behold, I won.
But congratulations.
But I can say I've never been a treasurer of anything since.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was a future teacher of America. Mm-hmm. And what other organizations did you say I was?
French Club. We found that
okay,
one.
I took French.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you were also, I think, on, like, prom committee. Yes, I think that's what we found as well.
You're also here stated as the president of the Future Teachers Association.
You were the president of the Future Teachers Association.
Well, thanks to my mother, she was like one of the sponsors.
There you go.
Not the president part, but because I was active in that.
Right.
Can I also ask you a quick question about some of the other clubs at Newport News High School? With it being newly integrated, did you have any type of... like African-American clubs? Did you have any, I know you probably wouldn't have seen like a young Black Panthers.
No.
But.
No, we, whatever organizations were there, mm-hmm. we became a part of if we were interested.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But there was no young Black student group.
Right. And then what was it like on your last day of, I guess, your first year in Newport News High School? Do you remember feeling a sort of like change in dynamic in the way the teachers and other students treated you from when you first got there to ending your first school year? If that makes sense.
Yes, I think as time, like I said, as time went on, mm-hmm. There was more acceptance and more. Interaction.
Right.
And I think that's one thing that was important to me was you can't make change if you don't talk to people.
Right.
So I think that's one of the things that helped us was the interaction in clubs mm-hmm. and classes helped to say, oh, okay, well, you know, they're regular people.
Yeah.
They're the same as we are.
And overall, how do you reflect on your time at Newport News High School, and do you still keep in touch with any of your classmates?
Overall, it was a positive experience, and I don't keep in touch with
right.
some of the other students. I see that the ones who live in Newport News,
mm-hmm.
there are a couple of people I've seen that. I speak to when I see them, but we're not in contact necessarily.
Right.
So overall, how do you reflect on your time at Newport News High School?
Well, it was a positive experience, I think, because I would not have had the interaction if I had not gone.
Mm-hmm.
My husband, on the other hand, he went through segregated schools from first grade through dental school.
Oh, wow.
He went to Black schools.
Right.
Or predominantly Black schools
mm-hmm.
all the way through. But I think it was a positive experience and
mm-hmm.
on everyone's part.
Yeah.
And one of my classmates said that in the end, people are the same wherever you go, and everyone deserves respect and kindness in our interactions with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I believe many of us learned the same lesson and started to accept each other on the merit of our actions rather than the color of our skin.
Wow, that's really awesome. And so after graduation from Newport News High School, you sought out higher education at the Hampton Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was it like going from a primarily white school to a historically Black college?
Well, one of the main reasons I went to Hampton was because of their early childhood
right.
program.
Mm-hmm.
That was my major there. And I don't know, it was very familiar. The campus was very familiar with me because my grandmother used to be one of the hostesses at Holly Tree Inn.
Oh, wow.
And she worked there when Rosa Parks came, and she worked there for a brief period from after the bus boycott. She had a hard time finding a job,
mm-hmm.
and the president of Hampton offered her a job to be a hostess at Holly Tree Inn. So, you know, that's how long that I've been involved with the campus, because
mm-hmm.
I would come, and she would babysit me or whatever,
yeah.
and I would roam the campus. It was
mm-hmm.
very safe at the time.
Right.
It still is, I'm
yeah.
sure. And so I was very familiar with the campus and
mm-hmm.
a lot of the administration. So it wasn't much of a transition to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So another additional question would be, did your fellow students at Hampton know about your part in the Freedom of Choice? Did you know about any other students who were part of that Freedom of Choice action?
No, we didn't talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
We just accepted that we came from everywhere, and we started from that point on. We didn't
yeah.
necessarily dwell on what happened before
mm-hmm.
in our high school years,
right.
and particularly.
Understandable. And after, we see that you later went back and worked in Newport News High School in the public system.
In Newport News Public
yes.
Schools.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
The
yes.
Newport News Public School System,
mm-hmm.
Beginning in 1977.
Yes.
So could you elaborate a little bit how it may have changed or stayed the same at that point in your career?
Well, I was in one of the first four First Step teachers, which is the preschool program. So we were rather separated from the regular schools. When we first started, there were four classes
mm-hmm.
in one building.
Mm-hmm.
And then we expanded to two buildings of nine classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went into Jefferson, my old elementary school,
yeah.
Jefferson. And that was a center with all nine classes
mm-hmm.
in there. So it wasn't until, I think, 1986, that I went into a regular elementary school
mm-hmm.
as a part of the First Step situation
mm-hmm.
because they wanted us to spread out into the schools.
Mm-hmm.
But then the principals didn't know what to do with us because we were a Chapter 1 program.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, do we get included with everything that's part of that?
Right.
So that, it wasn't a racial thing, it was just a program
right.
situation of trying to figure out if we were accepted or not.
Right. So looking back, what role do you think that school desegregation played in the broader, I guess, civil rights movement?
Well, I think it helped.
Mm-hmm.
In the segregated schools, we would get the books. They were handed down
mm-hmm.
from the white schools.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were in poor condition. And I think that integrating the schools helped in that situation because everybody got the same books.
Yeah.
There was not a situation where, you know, pages were torn out
mm-hmm.
or it had been so worn that it fell apart.
Right.
And the materials at the school were probably better
mm-hmm.
than at some schools that didn't have the same equipment.
Right. Do you think that there was anyone in your community in particular who was, I guess, against school desegregation or had, apprehensions about you all going to or integrating with white students?
Yes, because there was a feeling that when we were in a segregated neighborhood, you had people who worked in all sorts of areas, from
mm-hmm.
Medicine to postal workers to insurance to custodians. Everybody lived in the same community.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we integrated, they thought that was a demise of the black community
right.
because people started moving other areas
mm-hmm.
and businesses started to close.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some pushback mm-hmm. about that.
Right.
And so can we go a little bit further into that pushback a little bit? If that's available with you.
I don't have much more to add to that.
Okay. So then going forward, what do you view as the most important accomplishment of the civil rights movement?
As I said before, I think when you bring people together
mm-hmm.
to have conversations or to work together, that helps everybody because there's, you know, camaraderie, there's collegiality, there's
mm-hmm.
A sense of community outside of your
mm-hmm.
community. So just bringing people together, I think, has been a benefit
mm-hmm.
of the civil rights movement.
Yeah. And do you find anything, I guess, now in 2023, in our modern day and age, I'm sure there are things, but are there anything in particular that you can, I guess, pinpoint as an unfinished legacy of the movement itself?
I can't think of anything right now, but I'm sure that there's still a lot of work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the golden rule that gets ignored a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that there are a lot of other ways that we still have work to do.
Right.
And with the removing of our history from textbooks, from conversation,
mm-hmm.
from education,
mm-hmm.
That's a big setback because it's history.
Mm-hmm.
It did happen,
mm-hmm.
and people need to know about it as generations mm-hmm. come up. So to ignore or to deny the history, I think that's been one of the things that is very disappointing. And an aggressive way to go against our community.
Right. And I think just a follow-up to that question, how have you seen, as a teacher yourself, how have you seen, I guess, education regarding Black history change over time from your time as a student, beginning in an integrated high school and an integrated school, and then becoming a teacher? How has that changed? Did you notice any changes?
Well, I think that's one of the things that we had to institute
mm-hmm.
was having a Black History Week,
right.
or acknowledging Black history
mm-hmm.
in February in high school. And as far as in teaching, well, in school, it was Frederick Douglass, it was George Washington Carver, Rosa Parks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were basic four or five people
right.
that everybody learned, but there were so many more people
right.
that everybody should have learned about.
Mm-hmm.
So I think today is going back to not being as positive an experience
yeah.
to teach about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure where we are.
No, totally.
So if you're not learning it at home or outside of the house
mm-hmm.
in the community, I'm not sure you're getting it at school.
Right.
I'm pretty sure you're not getting it at school.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And then is there anything else that you would like to contribute that we may not have touched on? If you have any other stories, anything that you really want to say?
Well, my father was on the school board.
Mm-hmm.
For two terms, and he was outvoted 6-1 whenever integration came up
mm-hmm.
In the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And my brothers went to prep school out of state because the state would pay for at least a portion of the tuition, whatever not to integrate.
Mm-hmm.
So my oldest brother, Charles, went to a school in Connecticut. My brother, Bobby, went to a school in Massachusetts. And John went also to Connecticut. But he was only there 2 years, and he came back
mm-hmm.
and went to Newport News High School when we opened, when we went in 65. So, that was, that's what I feel it negatively affected me because
right.
we didn't grow up necessarily together because they
right.
were away at school. But he was always outvoted. And for the state to pay the parents
mm-hmm.
to send them anywhere but
right.
to keep the schools open.
Yeah.
Because there was such a threat to close the school, like
mm-hmm.
in Farmville,
yeah.
where they actually did close the schools. There was a threat in Newport News also.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why my father and mother decided that my brothers should go away to school.
Right.
So that's a situation I'd like to mention.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned about Donna and the cheerleading.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another situation my senior year where the black football players were going to protest not having a black senior on the homecoming court.
Oh, wow.
And so that's when my classmate Maddie was then put on the homecoming court.
Wow.
So homecoming went on,
mm-hmm.
you know, without a hitch. But, you know, there was that possible backlash that,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were not included. And we had to make ourselves known to be included.
Right.
So we had to assert ourselves quite a bit.
Do you feel that fighting, well, not fighting, but realizing, like, who you are and everything kind of stemmed from that? Like, fighting, all of y'all fighting for your places within the school system, you know, making your voices heard. Do you think that kind of affected how you live your life today?
I would think so, because if you didn't make your feelings or point of view known, then, you know, you were just sort of sidelined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you had to assert yourself in situations to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, it made a difference.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel like being a teenager and having to take on something that is so, I guess, beyond you, something that's much bigger than yourself, did that affect you at all in any way when you were a teenager? Did you realize the impact that you were having going to an integrated high school?
No, it was just the way it was. That's where we went.
Right.
Our daily routine was going to that school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the difference.
Right.
You know,
right.
I can't say what the experience would have been if I had gone to,
right.
say, Huntington
mm-hmm.
or another school.
Mm-hmm.
But even today, people assume that I went to Huntington because it was the black school and all.
Right.
Everybody went there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my father went to Huntington.
Mm-hmm.
My mother grew up in North Carolina, so she didn't. But people assume, because you're black, you went there.
Right.
So then I have to say, no, I went to Newport News.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So what was like the single biggest thing that you took away from your educational experience as a whole?
The importance of education.
Right.
You know, that was something I learned early on, but it
mm-hmm.
was in the forefront in high school, because
mm-hmm.
you know, you wanted to get to a good college and have a career,
mm-hmm.
so it was brought to the forefront definitely in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, education is so important, and your future depended on it.
Right. And was there anything from your own personal experiences that motivated you to begin your organization Get Up, and like kind of where, why did you do that? What was, you know, the, I guess, your motivations behind that?
Well, I taught preschool for 27 of my 30 years, mm-hmm. 3 years in Washington, D.C., and 27 in Newport News. And one of the things that parents would ask is, how can I help my child?
Mm-hmm.
And figured when I retired, I taught 30 years, and when I retired, I knew I wanted to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So I researched how to start a business,
mm-hmm.
and I started the Get Up Project, and
mm-hmm.
my daughter helped me come up with the name, and it stands for Getting Educated to Understand Parenting.
Oh, wow.
That's what Get Up stands for.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do workshops and presentations so parents would know that they have to start earlier than signing them up for preschool,
mm-hmm.
and then giving them to the teacher saying,
mm-hmm.
now they're yours.
Right.
No, it starts from the very beginning, from day one, even before they're born, reading to them, playing music.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much that can be done at home before they actually start the official school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I wanted to do. And I also created 3 games that I have the copyright for. One was Body Bingo.
Mm-hmm.
One was, Your Manners Bingo. And then one was Get Up for School.
Wow.
And one of the nursing homes bought Your Manners Bingo,
mm-hmm.
because the Boy Scouts would come to play the games with the residents. And she said that both of them needed a refresher.
That's really funny.
On manners.
That's really
funny. Use your manners bingo, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
So I did that for a few years, and then my brother got sick, and I was his
mm-hmm.
caregiver, and people thought it was a good idea, but didn't want to necessarily pay for my services, so.
Right.
It lasted from 2005 to 2018.
Wow, that's a good period of time.
So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed spending time with the parents and,
right.
and telling them they're not their child's friend, they're
mm-hmm.
their child's parent.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed that.
Wow, that's amazing.
No, that is absolutely amazing. And so my final question for you really is, out of everything that you have done, all the experiences that you have lived, is there anything that you think was the single most greatest accomplishment?
Wow. I don't know. Having 2 children, working and getting my master's all at the same time.
Yeah, it's, wow.
That was a lot. Or having them be... when they were 4 years old. So I had 4-year-olds 24
oh
hours a day.
Oh.
For those 2 years of my children were 4 years.
Yeah.
When my son was 4, and then when my daughter was 4. But I don't know. I think everything is built up on the other thing
mm-hmm.
to make all the experiences worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of anything I would change.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty proud of myself for researching how to start a business, and because that was not my world.
Yeah.
My world was in the classroom, and because I had to apply for taxes and everything, selling the game. So, that was a pretty big accomplishment too, I think.
Well, that is
and being married for almost 50 years.
That is an accomplishment. That's a really
trust
big
me,
accomplishment.
My mom had to deal with 2 of me. I don't know.
And a husband.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. Again, if there's anything else you would like to say, feel free to say so.
I think we've covered everything that I had jotted down to make sure I wanted to cover.
Miss Scott Price, thank you so much for talking to us today. Mm-hmm. It's really enlightening to hear someone talk about their experiences, and we really thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really loved learning about your experiences and your time and your all the clubs you did.
I'm impressed that you did your research.
Yes, I did.
You're telling me things. Did I do that?
You're like, okay, tell me my life story. Well, it was really nice to meet you and speak with you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to do this with us.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.